Morning. Today's daf Pesachim Nun Aleph or Nun Amud Beis. We are, as the lines start to get wide, the last short line on the Amud, Tanur Rabbanan. Gemara is going to continue a little bit from the discussion from yesterday, but really the discussion here in the fourth parak is a discussion dedicated to Minhagim. Mishnah opened up yesterday on Nun Amud Aleph. Makom Shenagu Lasos Malacha Barvei Pesachim. So we talked about various Minhagim. The first Minhag that comes up in these Mishnayos here in the fourth parak of Pesachim is the minhag of working on Erev Pesach, but specifically in the morning of Erev Pesach. We're going to learn together in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, there is an Isser to do malachas on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, but before Chatzos, so it is subject to minhagim. Certain communities, they had a minhag not to work. Some communities, they did have a minhag where they did work. I don't know if that's a minhag, but anyway, they didn't have a minhag, let's say it like this. They didn't have a minhag not to work. So regardless, various minhagim in different communities, and this entire parak is dedicated itself to the topic of minhagim, and the big issue that the Mishnah deals with is, what if you're moving from location to location? You have a particular minhag in one location, and then you move to another location, and they don't follow that minhag, what should you do? So the Mishnah's rule actually is pretty straightforward, and that is, accept yourself the chumras of the place that you came from, or the chumra of the place that you go to. The Mishnah, however, is a little bit confusing, because then the Mishnah says, make sure not to get involved in any kind of machlokas. That's going to be a little bit tricky in terms of how that works in both situations. Okay, we're going to deal with that at the end of today's daf. In the meantime, however, so we talked about the minhagim of working on Erev Pesach. The Gemara yesterday spoke a little bit about work. We're going to finish off that discussion of the Gemara, discussing a little bit about melacha. Doing work on Erev Shabbos. So after mincha, after the zman mincha, there's no iser per se, but nevertheless, so as far as achan of Shabbos is concerned, achan of yantiv, so one has to refrain from doing malacha in the sense of one has to focus all of his attention on Shabbos preparation. What is that? How is that different than Erev Pesach? So the Gemara yesterday noted a couple differences between the iser malacha that exists on Erev Pesach after Chatzos and the iser malacha that exists on Erev Shabbos after Zman Mincha. Anyway, so that was the Gemara's discussion yesterday. So on the topic of work, so the Gemara had a couple of other points to make regarding work. Gemara yesterday also mentioned that working on Erev Shabbos, it's not mesugal. It does not provide a good segula for working on Erev Shabbos. And the same thing could be said regarding Motzei Shabbos as well. Motzei Shabbos that still has nitzotzos of Kedusha Shabbos, so you shouldn't be working then as well. So good. So we got into the topic of working. So the Gemara is going to continue along that theme, as now we are going to be discussing other types of works that are both endorsed and not endorsed by the Chacham and Tanur Rabbanan. We start with a Braisa. Hametzapel eschar yishto v'rechaim ein oro simen bracha l'olam. So let's say eschar yishto. Let's say your wife works and that's right now what you're relying on. That's not good. You're not going to get a simen bracha. Neither are you going to get a simen bracha for rechaim. So what are these two things that are mentioned? So schar yishto. So the Gemara goes on to explain a little bit better. Schar yishto is metukalta, and rechai is agarta. So the way Rashi understands it is as follows. As far as schar yishto is concerned, so what she does is the following. Rashi describes, no talis maznaim biyada, umalachas b'shuk. So she takes the scale, she goes into the marketplace, lahaschiran l'chol atzrichim. And Rashi describes how she's just going to go around, and anyone who wants to use it, so she'll charge for usage, otherwise known as renting it. So, d'schar mu'at, hu mizbaza ishto aschar mu'at. Now, you're not going to get a lot of money for that, and your wife is going to have to be debased based on this activity, which is not going to yield a lot of profit. So, the Gemara says that's no good. Now, what about rechaya agartam? So, Rashi says over here, you have a millstone, you rent out the millstone. And also, same thing, a lot of work, not a lot of money. Rashi says, agartas schar rechaim shemaskirin toreach gadom. Uschar muat, it's a lot of work, it's a heavy millstone, you're not charging a lot for it. Now Rashi points out, as the Gemara will in just a moment, now if you're talking about buying and selling a millstone, oh, now that's a business. And that's something where you're going to work hard, but you're going to get rewarded for it. But the idea of working really hard and not getting paid a lot, so the Gemara says that that's a bizui, and if your wife has to do it, that's even a further bizui. Ava, back to the Gemara, continuing in the Gemara, Ava avda mizavna. So, but if you go ahead and you sell it, in other words, you're talking about now the sale of the millstone. So, ishtabucha mishtabech ba kradichsiv sadin asasavitimkor. So then, if your wife engages in that kind of behavior where she's now making good money, wonderful. One of the psukim in Eshet Chayil Sadin Asas of Timkor, the Pasuk in Eshet Chayil describes how she makes her sedin, she makes her robes, her sheets, and she sells them. Okay, good. For a sale, where now we're talking about a significant profit, a sufficient profit. So that's something that's good. But if all we're talking about is rental and you're not making a lot of money, so the Gemara says that's no good. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Continuing in the Gemara, Mistaka Bekanim Bekankanim, Eina Ro Simen Brach La'olam. So the if you are involved in the sale of these big jugs, so that's also not good. That's the Eino Simen Bracha. Now, what's going on with those big jugs? So my time at Kevin Denafish Afa Chazayu Shaltabai Eine. So the Gemara says, look, it's so large, these big jugs. That's what's gonna end up happening is that people see what you're doing, and you should be discreet about your business. And if you're involved in the kind of business where everyone sees what you're doing, so Shaltabai Eine, what we describe as Yain Hara. So when you're out there in the public and people see you, so that invites the Ayin Hara, and obviously you do not want to invite the Ayin Hara. So, okay, it's the kind of business where, by definition, invites the Ayin Hara, and the Gemara says it's not good. Ten Rabban and Tigre, Simta. So the Gemara describes other types of professions which are not to be endorsed. So let's go one by one as we go through a number of different types of professions. Tagre Simta, Rashi describes Yoshua Mamochim Meshuk Ve'ayin Sholetus Bahem. So this kind of commerce forces you to be right there in the middle of the marketplace, and everybody sees your business. And here I mean that literally. So under those circumstances, once again, that's an Ayin Hara situation. Megadla Behem Adaka, raising small animals. Rashi describes over here, Akol Savachim Aleim. So everyone's screaming about the small animals. They get around, they get into other people's fields. And so you're just basically, even though it's your business, but it's also a nuisance to other people. Kotz it say, Ilanos Tovos, Venosnin, I'm sorry, Kotzim Ilanos Tovos, you chop down really good trees. And Rashi describes over here, Lamochim Leitzim, and all you're doing is just selling them as wood. So Hakol Tamim Umalizim Aleim. So these beautiful trees, and all you're doing is selling them as firewood, and everyone thinks that you're crazy. And again, Rashi says, "Mitochkach ayin sholatus b'hem v'tzakas b'nei adam." So anytime that you are bringing attention about on yourself through your business, so once again, that's ayin hara. V'nosin einem b'chel gyalfem. Rashi over here describes what the Gemara is describing over here. Kishachokim emachem tamim akifim litol chele makpidim litol chel gyalfem. Yeah, so you're in partnership and you're insistent every single time to get the better share of the partnership. Okay, even though, let's call it the fair share, but still, you're always looking to get the better share. So in all these circumstances, in a row, Simon Bracha Lolam, you're not going to get a Simon Bracha. My time at the Taube Inche, people are looking at you, people are amazed by you, but amazed not in the positive way. Meaning you're drawing attention to yourself and negative attention to yourself, and it's just simply not going to be good. It's not going to be good for you, not for your business. Again, it all revolves around some form of Ayin Hara. Tana Rabbanan continuing in the Gemara. Da'al Prutos Ein Behen Simen Brech La'olam. Four types of services which are not going to have a Simen Brecha. And that is Schar Kosim, Schar Meturgamin, Schar Yusamim, Umaus Abaus Mimidina Sayam. So Schar Kosim, if you go ahead and you write Sfarim, Mezuzos, Tfilin, so you're not going to see a good parnasa from there. Wait till you hear the reason why that's going to be. Schar metugamanim, you're schar metugaman. So on Shabbos, after they read each of the psukim in the parsha, so there used to be an old minug, which we no longer have, and that is that someone would translate the pasuk after each one of them is read, and someone would get paid for the service. So you'd be the metugaman. So getting paid for that, the Gemara says also not a simen bracha. Schar yisomim. Rashi describes over here is that what you're going to do is that you're going to invest the estate of orphans. So you were entrusted to make investments with that estate. You're going to make investment with that estate. Rashi over here describes you're going to get a cut. The Gemara says it's just not good. It's not going to be good for you. It sounds like from the Gemara and from Rashi you're entitled to a certain percentage which you invested, but you're not going to see a simen bracha. Now, whatever, we'll come back to discuss it a little bit more. And anytime you have investments that are overseas, all right, so good luck. And good luck, and the Gemara describes that as Ein Aroh Siman Bracha. Now, Bishlama, now the Gemara says, I'm going to make sense of everything that we described over here. So, Bishlama, Schar Metorgamin, Mishum Demechzik, Schar Shabbos. Now, Schar Metorgamin, now you're going to get paid, and it is a service, and the Gemara assumes that you'll get paid a good amount. Here's the problem. The problem is that you're working on Shabbos. Now, legitimately, you're working on Shabbos, but nechzei k'schar Shabbos. It looks like you're getting paid for services on Shabbos. This idea of schar Shabbos, you're not allowed to get paid for services provided on Shabbos. We're not talking about where you're doing malacha, obviously. If you're doing malacha, that's an issur d'oraisa. But you're providing a service that doesn't violate the Shabbos, but still, to get paid for exclusively working on Shabbos, for exclusively providing a service on Shabbos, so that's an issur d'rabbanan, that is what's called schar Shabbos. And so to that, our meturgeman, so mechzei kischar Shabbos, it looks like that he is violating this issur d'rabbanan of schar Shabbos. Now we know, the Gemara elsewhere tells us, that it's not schar Shabbos if you're getting paid for services provided for both on Shabbos and also after or before Shabbos. So this is what's the principle, the concept called havla'a. And so therefore, under those circumstances, it would be fine. Our Gemara, which is really not that verbose, and we don't get a lot of details over here in our Gemara gives the indication that you're not violating schar Shabbos itself. Now, why not? So I'm guessing, but I'm not sure. I'm only guessing that maybe it's not a violation of schar Shabbos because of the preparation necessary before Shabbos. I don't know if that's correct. I don't know if that's true. Maybe just as another thought, but it's just a thought though. So, you know, I'd only send it so far. But maybe the issue over here, why it's not schar Shabbos, is because you're also doing Targum on Mondays and Thursdays as well. Maybe. Anyway, mechzei k'schar Shabbos. Once you're giving the impression that you're doing something that is violating schar Shabbos, that's no good. So technically, you're not violating the halacha, but still not appropriate. Maus yisomim namilav b'nei mechila ninu. Now, maus yisomim goes like this: that you're entitled to a share, and you'll take your share. But anytime you take anything above and beyond what you're entitled to, so there's no idea of mechila. They're yisomim. They're ketanim. They're just simply not in a position to be mochel. And so now, anything that you're going to be taking that's above your percentage is going to be gzela, and so therefore, you're really at risk of violating gzela. That's why it's just simply a dangerous activity. And ma'os habaos mi medinas yam mishum delav kol yuma mitzrachish nisa. Now, if you have investments overseas, so the Gemara has a great description over here. It's miraculous if you get a return on your investment. So, and we know miracles don't happen every day. So if you have investments overseas, so the Gemara describes it as a miracle to collect, and you can't rely on miracles. So Elas Karkosha my time. But the one thing, however, that's difficult to understand is that your parnasa is that you're a kosev stam. You write Sifrei Torah and Tefillah Mezuzah, and the Gemara describes it as ain't nobody. You're not going to get a siman bracha. Well, why should that be? So as I mentioned, the answer is going to amaze you. I'm Rav Yeshua Ben Levi. Chavdal Taniyos Yashuan Shekinesis Gedola Al Kosev So Esfarim Tefillah Mezuzas. So Anshe Knesset HaGadola got together and fasted for 24 days, in which they said that we want to make sure that our writers of Stam are not going to get significant reward for their work. Shelo Yit Ashru, we don't want them to get wealthy. They'll make up Parnasa, but that's it. She'il Malei Misasrin Ein Kosvim, because if in fact they get wealthy, so what's going to end up happening is Ein Kosvim. So they're not going to be that motivated to write. And Anshe Knesset HaGadola, they wanted Stam. They wanted Sfarim, Tefillah, Mezuzos. And so as a result of that, they basically, it sounds funny, but this is exactly what the Gemara is saying, is they put a mini klala on this kind of parnasa that no one's going to get wealthy from this business. And so what's going to end up happening is that they're going to have to write a lot. And they wanted that. They wanted more Stam to go out there into circulation. B'nei Baishan. We are, right? No, not yet. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay. Kosrei Sfarim Tefillah Mezuzos, Hein V'Tigrim V'Tigrei Tigrim V'Chol Ha'Oskim B'Melacha Shamayim L'Suya Mocher Tcheles, Ein Aram Siman Bracha La'Olam. So the Brice over here says that if you are one of these Sofrim, and you're writing Tefillin, Sfarim Tefillah Mezuzos, so both you and anyone who is involved in the resale, right, your distributors and any of the merchants of these items, and including those people who are selling tchelos for tzitzis, so they're not going to see a siman bracha la'olam. V'im oskim lishman rowin. Now, if you are doing it not because you want the business, but you're doing it because it's l'shem shamayim, so then you're going to see a siman bracha. Okay, so over here, when you're doing these kinds of business ventures and activities, You got to be in it for the right reasons. If you're not in it for the right reasons, so there you're not going to see a siman bracha. Continuing in the Gemara, we're on Nun Amud Beis, B'nei Baishan, towards the bottom of the Amud. And B'nei Baishan Agdolohave Asa Mitzur Litzidon B'male Shabasa. So there was a minhag started by the B'nei Baishan, and that is that they wouldn't go to Tzidon on Erev Shabbos. Tzidon is the market. And they would refrain from going to the market on Erev Shabbos. Market over here is more like a business market. And basically, they took it upon themselves not to do any malacha on Erev Shabbos. And that was the accepted minhag that they took upon themselves. So also, B'nai, coming to Rabbi Yochanan, Amru lehu avosan efshalahu, anan lo efshalan. Then comes along the next generation, goes to Rabbi Yochanan and says, look, here is the minhag of our parents. Our parents didn't go to the market on Friday. In other words, they took all Friday from work in order to accept themselves an extra chumrah in terms of preparation for Shabbos, not doing malacha on Erev Shabbos. Good. And our parents were financially in the position to do so. So they were efshar. So they had the financial means where they could take off a day. On the other hand, we are not as financially fortunate as our parents. On and low efshar, we're just simply financially not in that position. So, what's our story? Do we have to accept the minhag of our parents? It's such a good shayla. So, Amalehu kvar kibla avasechem aleichem shenem shma b'ni musar v'icha v'alti tosh taros imecha. So, Rav Yochanan says, look, it's a minhag. It's a minhag that was accepted by your parents. It's accepted by your parents. You have to accept it upon yourselves. And so, therefore, yes, you are bound by that minhag. There is much discussion to be had, which we, unfortunately, are not going to have. Much discussion to be had in terms of the parameters of which minhagim stick, which minhagim do not stick. This Gemara over here, obviously, is going to be an extraordinarily important source in terms of which minhagim are minhagim that should stick and move on generationally. And so over here, Rav Yochanan clearly is endorsing a minhag that even though is going to be financially onerous, nevertheless, Rav Yochanan clearly endorses this minhag to perpetuate for future generations. Okay? So, and much to be discussed in terms of the parameters of this Gemara that we just learned together. We're going to continue in the Gemara on Nun Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud. B'nei Chuzai, Nagde Mefarshe Chala Me'aroza. So the B'nei Chuzai had a funny minhag. And their minhag was is that they were mafrish chala from rice. Now we know, we've discussed chala already a number of times in our Masechta. We know the mitzvah of mafreshes chala is only for the chameshes minim. It's only for the five grains. And there is no mitzvah to be mafresh challah from bread that you make from rice, okay? But they had a minhag. They had a minhag where they would be mafresh challah from rice bread. Asav Amalei L'Rav Yosef Amalei Nechli Zar Ba'Payum. So the matter came in front of Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says it's a terrible minhag. I really don't like it. And what we should do is that we should have a non-kohen eat the bread right in front of them, meaning to clearly demonstrate and indicate that this challah. It does not have the status of challah, and they should not be mafresh challah from this particular dough. Now, Eitz ve'Abai, now Abai says, now wait one second. So I understand that there is no chova, there's no obligation for them to be mafresh challah from the rice bread, but Abai says, but I don't understand. He's asking now, Rav Yosef, I don't understand. Dvar ma mutar v'achirim nagu mehem iser, I atar v'ashay la'atirim b'fneihem. Let's say something is really mutter. Me'ikar adin it's mutter. And then there's a minhag that started, that minhag that accepted iser. So here's what you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to go over there and say, look, you don't know what you're doing. Really, this is something which is mutter. You're not allowed to do that, as we are now on the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. E atah rashai lahatiran bifneihem. So you're not allowed to be mutter in front of them once they accepted this minhag. So Amar Lav V'Lav Mi'itmar Lav Amar Rav Chista Bikusai. Now on this brisa that we just learned together, Rav Chista puts in the following qualification. That's true when we're talking about kutim, meaning if we're talking about people who are not sophisticated, do not have a good Jewish education, right? Kusai over here is a looser term, just simply to describe people who are unlearned. So for them, so don't start going around and being matir things, because even though in this particular case you're right, but once you say something is mutter to them, so from there, they're gonna run with it. So if a certain minhag has been accepted by a community, and now we're gonna qualify with Rav Chista, a community of kutayim. So under those circumstances, what you should do is that you should not say that what they're doing is wrong. You should not say that it's mutter specific to only a community of kutayim. If they're people who are b'nei Torah, So then you can go over them and you can educate them even further. But for Kutaim, you should not do so. You should keep them to their Chumrah. And the Gemara now goes and formulates the following question. Right? This is Abaye now wondering and asking about Rav Yosef. So Kutaim, my time, Mishum de Mesachim Ilsa. So again, with the Kusaim, they are unlearned to begin with, and you try to be Matir for them something which really is Mutter, but what's going to happen is Mesachim Ilsayu, they're going to run with it. So Hanachin Shinam Mesachim Ilsa. So over here, aren't we concerned now that they're going to run with this? So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that the B'nai Mechuza under discussion, they're basically unlearned people. So therefore, there is no question, says Rav Yosef, because it's true of Chisda's qualification. I'm working within Rav Chisda's qualification because the people over here in question are people who are unlearned. So Amar El Amar Rav Ashi Chazinan. So Rav Ashi says, okay, but I'll tell you what though. This issue of being mafresh challah from rice bread, Rav Ashi says we have to really look at it from a different perspective. Iruben orazakli lo nechle zar ba'apayu. Dilma mishach etaros challah minayu. V'iruben dagan achle nechle zar ba'apayu dema asil afrushim min achiv ala patur o min apatur ala achiv. Rav Ashi says, look, here's the story. We have to look at what the normal form of bread is. If the normal form of bread is rice bread, meaning that in Mechuzah happens to be the bread. Bread is rice bread. It's the only bread that they make. So then Rav Ashi says, I'll tell you what. So let them keep the minug of being mafresh challah from rice bread. Okay, because if we don't allow that minug to continue and perpetuate, so they're going to forget altogether about this mitzvah called afreshas challah. So fine, so even though rice bread is not chayv and challah maker adin, but nevertheless, let's perpetuate that particular minug, because otherwise they're going to forget altogether about the mitzvah of afreshas challah. But Rav Ashi says, but here's the story. If, let's say, in the town of Chuzai, there is rice bread and wheat bread and barley bread, so then Rav Ashi says, then what we should deconstruct the minug. We should abolish the minug. And he says, and I'll explain to you why. Because what's going to end up happening is that let's say they have two breads in front of them, two doughs in front of them. One is made up of rice and the other is made up of wheat. Now the one that's made up of rice, me'ikr hadin, is not chayv in hafrashas challah. The one that's made up of wheat is chayv in hafrashas challah. And here's what a person's going to do, put the two breads side by side and say, look, I'll do the hafrasha from the rice bread. I'll do it for the rice bread and I'll do it for the wheat bread as well. Here's the problem. The problem is that you didn't do a hafrasha. Since the rice bread is pater from the mitzvah of hafrashas challah, so then you weren't mafresh challah from the rice bread onto the wheat bread. That means the wheat bread right now still is in a state of tevel. And when a non-kohen is eating it, he's eating tevel. So the Gemara says, so under those circumstances, Rav Ashi says, what we're going to have to do is that if, in fact, that is their eating habits, where they have rice bread and wheat bread and barley bread, so then we're going to have to abolish this minug because it's a minug that could lead to a grave error, and that is a non-kohen eating tevel. Okay, so we are right now in a really interesting and really difficult sugya about which minhagim can perpetuate, which minhagim cannot perpetuate, and a number of variables, and it's hard. It's an interesting sugya, but it's very hard in terms of determination of which minhagim should sustain and which minhagim should be abolished. Gufa, the Gemara now is going to continue along these lines. We are on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, we're about 10 lines down, and we're going to rattle off three minhagim. Dvar ma mutarim v'acherim nagam b'hem isri yata rasha latirim b'fneihem. So first we're gonna give a headline, which is what we already saw, but this is how the Gemara operates when we say gufa, and that is that we're gonna say over a brisa that we just said, and we're gonna expand on it more. So first of all, the brisa that says that let's say the maker did something is mutter, and a community took on a minug to be oster that which is mutter, so you cannot come in, you should not come in and start saying that really it's mutter. And Amar Rav Chisda b'kusay askinan. So and Rav Chisda said that right that qualification which the Gemara accepted previously, which the Gemara is accepting now as well, is that this idea is only limited to a community that's not learned. If the community is not learned, for you to go in and start correcting, so then what's going to happen is that they're going to say, oh, that's allowed, and they're going to run with the heter, and they're going to expand the heter to areas where it's not to be expanded. However, if the community is a community of Tamid Chachamim, it's a knowledgeable community, so then you can go ahead and you can correct them and you can tell them that really maker dirns mutter. Good. V'kuli amalo, the Gemara says, now, is this true This qualification of Rav Chista, is this a correct qualification? V'atayin, the Gemara says, let's consider now the following b'raisa. And three minhagim. Number one, rochsim shnei achim ke'echavein, rochsim shnei achin b'kavol. Two brothers are allowed to bathe together in the same bathhouse, right? Ostensibly in the same bathtub as well. However, in the town of Kavol, they took it upon themselves that they didn't engage in that practice. Umaisa b'Yehuda v'Hillel b'nafsh Rami Gamliel, and the two sons of Rami Gamliel, Yehuda and Hillel, shirach l'shem ke'echa b'kavol. So in the town of Kavol, so they went with Iker Hadin with that it's mutter. V'laz alem kol medina, amri miyamena lo reinu kach, v'nishman Hillel v'yatza l'beis achitzon, v'lo ratza lahem utar matem. And so what one of the sons of Rami Gamliel did is that he exited the bathtub, meaning even though me'iker Hadin it's mutter, for the brothers to bathe together, but he exited the bathtub. He didn't want to make a scene. He certainly didn't want to correct them. And basically, he's like, okay, you're right. Even though really they were right, the brothers were right. It's really me'iker Hadin it's mutter. Whatever. He felt that it wasn't appropriate to say anything about it. Okay, now why did they take them upon themselves this chumrah of not bathing together in the same bathtub? Stay tuned. We're gonna explain that better in just a moment. Yotzim bikar minig number two. Yotzim bikardos kison b'shabbos vein yotzim bikardos kison b'shabbos bibiri. So there's these kinds of shoes. There are particular types of shoes. They're very loose fitting, and it's mutter to wear them. However, in the town of Biri, they took upon a minig that they didn't wear these shoes in the town of Biri. Umaisa, and now an incident occurred, and yes, as you can guess, with our two sons of Rabbi Gamliel, Yehuda v'Hillel b'nafsha Rabbi Gamliel, shiyatza b'kardus kison b'Shabbos b'Biri, so they wore these shoes in the town of Biri on Shabbos. So once again, la'zalem ha'medina v'amra mi'amenu l'arinu kach. So, and people started crying, hey, we don't do that over here. We don't wear those kinds of shoes. We're machmir. V'shamtum v'nasnum la'avdeim v'lo ratzu l'amr la'em mutar matem. Good, so... so they didn't want to create any kind of controversy. They took off the shoes. They gave the shoes to the Avadim. And they didn't want to say Mutar Matem. Okay, good. So that's story number two. Story number three. Yoshon al safsal nachrim nachrim b'shabbos. V'nei yoshon al safsal nachrim b'shabbos bi'ako. Sitting on the safsalei nachrim. Literally translated as benches of non-Jews. But, as Rashi over here points out, basically these benches were designated as business benches. It was the... if you will, it was like the Starbucks of the day, where people understood that you go in there and you have meetings, business meetings. So if you want to sit down on those benches on Shabbos, may Iker Hadin its mutter. However, in the town of Vako, they took it upon themselves as a minhag where they didn't sit on those benches. Now, Umaisa Rebbe Shem Amin Gamliel Shiyashav El Saf Salei Nachrim V'Shabbos Ba'alka V'Laza Alav Kol HaMedina. So, and now... so in our version, we have Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. In other versions, it's Rabbi Gamliel himself. Whoever was the principal that was involved in the story. So anyway, so in the town of Akko, he sat on the bench. He sat on the business bench. And everyone started screaming, Laza Avalaza Alav Kol HaMedina, Amru Miyamin Olam Reinu Kach. And they say, look, what's going on over here? We don't engage in that kind of behavior. Okay. Even though, by the way, in the other version, it's Rabbi Gamliel, he's Mamish the Nasi. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to see people talking to the Nasi in that manner. Okay. In any event, so he's being controversial. He didn't mean to. So what did he do? So you already know, based on the other two stories, what happened. So Nishman al-Gabe Karkav al-Ratz al-Amalai Mutar Matem. He gets right off the bench. He sits on the ground. He didn't want to say that Maker didn't really, it's Mutter. Okay. So what's happening over here on three different occasions? In the towns... In various towns, not really. The truth of the matter is, I'm only familiar with the last of the towns. But regardless, in all these towns, so there was a minhag of each of these towns, they accepted a particular chumrah, and every single time when Talmid Chacham came into the town unaware of the minhag, violating the minhag, and got reprimanded, so in every one of these three occasions. So they said, oh, you know what? Oh, you're right. And they remained a non-controversial entity. They didn't want to stir the pot in each one of these times. And in no time did they make any kinds of corrections. Now the Gemara is bothered because in all these circumstances, so look, when do you not come in and start correcting minhagim? when we're dealing with unlearned people, right? That was Rav Chisda's qualification. But if it's the Itarna B'nai Torah, so you can go ahead and you can correct them if the minhag is not based on anything. So the Gemara's answer, as you would expect, is B'nai Medina Sayam Nami, Kivin Dolo Shechicha Rabban and Gabayu Kikusim Damu. So the Gemara says, okay, look, over here we're talking about people that don't have a lot of Talmid Chachamim. Basically, we're talking about a community of unlearned people. There are not a lot of Rabbanim in town, not a lot of Shirim being delivered. So therefore, it is analogous to B'nai Kusim. Good. Okay, that is that's the general answer, as probably we would have expected, in terms of why over here, no corrections were made. Now, a number of things to go over, and that is, let's see if we can understand a little bit better what were the various possible Isurim, and the reason why these particular menhagim were taken on in these communities. Now, Bishlam, Asaf, Saleh, Nachrim, Mishum, Demech, Lekebeka, Chomemkar. So the benches, as we already pretty much figured out, but the Gemara here spells it out, and that is, look, it looks like business, right? These benches are normally designated for business activities, right? My analogy, if you like it, it was like Starbucks, basically. And what happens is that if you sit down on these benches, it looks like you are trying to negotiate some sort of deal, some sort of business deal. And so therefore, it may ikar din really, it's mutter. Now, why it should be mutter, meaning the Gemara has constructed a really good argument. It is mechze kemecha chomemkar, but apparently, I'm guessing right now, that there are dual usages for the benches, and it's not exclusively used for business. That would be my best guess. Anyway, but as far as a minug, not to sit on those benches, the Gemara says, I really do understand that. And karduskiso nami doma mishtaflim v'asilasin arba'amas b'rishos rabin. Now, as far as these particular types of shoes, so they were very loose fitting. And you can make an argument, and in fact, in one town, they did make an argument that what's going to happen is this, it's going to fall off your feet. You're not going to just simply slip them back on again, but rather you're going to carry them four amos and a rishos rabim. Okay. So the Gemara says, so I understand why they took on that minhag over there as well. El arokh, so my time alone. So the Gemara says, now in terms of bathing in the same bathtub together, what's the possible concern? So Kitatanya, so the Gemara says the following braisa. So imakol adam roch, it's a person can bathe with whomever he wants. And as Rashi points out over here, we're not worried about Mishkav Zachar. Rashi is towards the top of the amud. Right, Rashi is about 10 lines from the very top. This is Rashi back when we first presented the idea. Ein kamishum pritzus. The name of mitoch shemitzuy yachad ve'achshav roin arumim ze et ze. Nosin ayin ishba achiv lemishkav zachor. So over here, the possible concern that we're entertaining is the idea of mishkav zachor. So good. So but the general idea is that it's something that we're not worried about, and so therefore generally it's fine. Right, you can have two men going to the same shvitz together, the same bathhouse together. In the brisa over here, we're expounding on the idea a little bit more. So let's start again from the brisa where we are in the Gemara. Imakol adam rochets, so a person can bathe with whomever he wants. Chutz mi'avi v'chama v'val imo balachoso, with certain exceptions: his father, his brother-in-law, his father's father-in-law. The husband of his mother, right, meaning his stepfather, Ubala Choso, and his brother-in-law. And Rabbi Yehuda Matir Bavim Mimne Kavod Aviv. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, for your father it's fine. You're gonna probably have to assist him in the bathhouse. So there's an aspect of Kibbut Av, so there's no issue over here. There Vahu Adin La Bala Imo, and the same thing is true regarding Bala Imo, your stepfather, where there's also an element of Kibbut for a step-parent. Now, it's a little bit challenging to understand why over here are these particular people singled out as people you're not allowed to bathe with. Meaning, as we just learned together, we're not generally worried about Mishkav Zachar. Again, that particular town took upon themselves a minhag chumra. But generally speaking, we're not worried about Mishkav Zachar. So why in this brisa over here from Maseches Machos? So why over here are we excluding the father, the father-in-law, right, your stepfather and your brother-in-law? So as Rashi points out over here, you're familiar with their wives. So you're familiar with their wives. So the more time you spend with their significant other in an immodest situation, so it'll lead to some carryover regarding their wives. And so again, it's just it's a lack of tznius in those circumstances. Okay, good. So anyway, v'asu inu v'gazu b'shnei achim mishum balachoso. Now, as we go back to the beginning of the entire episode, meaning that in the town of Kavul, they took it upon themselves that brothers would not bathe together. Why? So basically what they did is they took that brisa that we just learned from Smachos, and they just extended it one. And that is that in the brisa, you're not allowed to be bathing with your brother-in-law. So, but regarding brothers, it would be mutter. So what they did is they just simply extended it one family member, where even brothers are not allowed to bathe together. Okay, Tana. Gemara quotes, the brisa tama lo yurchatz im rabo, v'im rabo tzarech lo mutter. Okay, so more on this topic of bathing together. So over here again, the default position with starting point is that men can bathe together. There's no concern of Mishkav Zachor. If there is an issue where you're particularly familiar of who the wife is, so then there's an element of snias. That's what we just learned together in the Brisa in Smachos. But generally speaking, it's mutter. Here in this Brisa that we're learning together, so Tamid lo yurchatz im rabo v'im rabo tzarech lo mutter. Student should not be bathing with his Rebbe. It's a lack of kavod harav. However, if your Rebbe needs assistance, so then under those circumstances, now you're being mishamish, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Ki asa rabba barbachana achal di asrei. Okay, we're moving on now to a new minug, right? A new minug, and that's regarding the ayasrei. Okay, this takes us back to chulin. We are somewhere in the middle of that very long third parak of chulin, where we're talking about the parts of the animal that can be eaten, the parts of the animal that cannot be eaten. Right? Third parak of chulin is anatomy. Anatomy 101, it's a little bit more than anatomy 101. It's 101 and probably 102 as well. Anyway, so the entire insides of the animal, all the organs of the animal are discussed in detail, mostly for the purposes of trefa, but as one of the discussions over there in that Gemara is that which of the fats of the animal are qualified as chelev and therefore going to be aser, and which is going to qualify as shuman and therefore going to be mutter. So there was one particular layer of fat that was basically in the bow shape of the stomach lining. There are multiple stomachs to the animal, four in total. We're talking over here about the fourth stomach, the cava. And so therefore there is an interior lining of fat. Is that chelev or is that shuman? Is it usr or mutter? And so the answer is minhagim. Meaning me'ik or adin, it's mutter. But there was a minagin bavel not to eat it. You can see the Rashi over here, achal di ayasra. Rashi writes, chelev shebekfifa sakeva. So it's the fat on the interior lining of the keva, sha'akeva kefufa ve'asuya kekeshes. So the actual shape of the keva is going to be like a bow. Ve'oso chelev shebemakom hayeser ochlem b'nei Eretz Yisrael. Now, the lining that is in the interior of that bow, so b'nei Eretz Yisrael had a minag where they would eat it, meaning they felt it was totally mutter. U'b'nei bavel noagin bo iser. But the B'nai Bavel took upon themselves a minag in which it is aser. You take a look at Rashi over there in that Gemara and Chulin. And please forgive me, I forgot the daf. But you take a look at Rashi over there, really interesting Rashi, because Rashi over there writes, and I don't have a Gemara and Chulin in front of me, so I'm just doing this on memory. So all mistakes, please forgive. But Rashi over there writes that we, the B'nai Ashkenaz, are descendants of the B'nai Bavel, and so therefore we accept upon ourselves that minug. All right, that's the Rashi over there in Chulin. Anyway, so our Gemara over here now is going to be discussing, so remember that in Bavel, the minug is not to eat this chelev of the keva. So with that stated, let's go back to our Gemara, and let's start again. Ki asa rabba barbachana achal di asrei. So rabba barbachana comes in from Eretz Yisrael, now he's sitting in Bavel, and he's eating the ayasrei. So the olagabe ravavira sabav rava bered ravuna kevin de chazinu kasya minayu. So now the along comes a couple of amarim and bavel, and what does he do? So he quickly covers up his lunch. He puts it right back in the bag. He wants to make sure that nobody sees what he's doing. He knows what he's doing is controversial. He knows people here in Bavel don't eat that part of the animal. So asav amar le la abaye. So they went and reported to Abaye. So what happened? Okay, right. Sounds a little bit like lashon hara, but obviously maybe for the purposes of tochacha. Anyway, so Amr Leil Abaye. So Amr Lu Shavichu Kukusai. He says, you know, you're treating us like a bunch of kusim. Meaning, when can you not go into community and not correct their chumras, their minhage chumra? That's only when they're unlearned. But if they're a community that's learned, so you can go ahead and you can tell them that it's really mutter. So why are you covering your lunch? Why are you covering the chalev? You feel that's mutter. So your position is that you're allowed to eat it. So why are you treating us like a bunch of kusayim? Okay, what a good question. To which his answer is, continuing in the Gemara, sorry. Now the Gemara itself wonders, wait one second. You're going into a community where the minhag in Bavel is not to eat this part of the animal. And what did we learn in our Mishnah? Meaning rule number one by Minhagim. Literally, rule number one. It's the first Mishnah here in the fourth parak of Pesachim that's dedicated to Minhagim. So rule number one is that when you go to a community and a community has a minhag of not doing something, you should follow the minhag of where you are. So Amar Abai Hanim Ilabavala Bavala Meretz Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. So Abai says, look what I'm going to do. I'm going to qualify that rule that we learned in our Mishnah. And that is that when you're traveling intra-Bavel or intra-Eretz Yisrael, so then you're right. So you're going from one community to another, not all the minhagim are the same, and you enter into a community where they have a particular minhag, which they're machmer upon, so of course you should respect that minhag, and you should not be controversial. Inami mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael. And it's also true when you're traveling from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, where there too as well, you should be respectful of the minhagim of Eretz Yisrael. Aval. May Eretz Yisrael above all, Kevin de Anan Kaifin Lu Abdin Kavasayo. However, when traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so we do not have to respect the Minhagim of Bavel. Now, I know that's a really strong statement, but okay, the Gemara says it. And so we don't have to respect the Minhagim of Bavel. Why? Because you people in Bavel are subservient to us in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi writes over here, in terms of understanding the subservience, so he says the Anan Kaifin and Rashi Divra Maskal Aval Me Eretz Yisrael Bavel. I'll read the whole Rashi. So im Yeshna Es Aminik BeBavel Ein Kan Machlokes. You don't have to worry about being controversial if you're coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel and there's a particular chumra that they're knowing in Bavel. Don't worry about being controversial. The Anan Kaifin live in Eretz Yisrael because we are subservient to Eretz Yisrael. De Inu Smichi. So the way Rashi describes it is because, look, it's really a function of having smicha or not having smicha. Meaning those people living in Bavel do not have smicha, and those living in Eretz Yisrael do have smicha, and so therefore the people of Bavel are subordinate to the people in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, someone's coming in from Eretz Yisrael, and there's a chumrah that's accepted in Bavel, so the B'nai Eretz Yisrael doesn't have to abide by that chumrah. And don't worry about being controversial. Says Rashi, it's all a function of smicha, right? Fair to say that according to Rashi, once you lose the aspect of smicha, so then you lose this rule, right? You can make that argument. I'm not saying that's right, but certainly that's what it sounds like from Rashi. Rav Ashi, Amar, back to the Gemara, Afilu Tema, Me'eretz Yisrael Bavel. So, and Rav Ashi says, no, you know what? We don't have to say this qualifier. Meaning, Abai put this qualification in that when traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so you don't have to abide by the Minhagim of Bavel. That's what Abai tried to argue. Rav Ashi says, you don't have to make that argument. So, Hani Milehecha Dein Daito Lachzor. Rabba Barbachana Daito Lachzor Hava. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. When do you have to be mindful and respectful of the Minhagim in the places that you go? That's only when Ein Daito Lachzor, when you have no intent on going back. So now basically you're going to take on a form of residence, a quasi-residence. You're going to be like now some form of a snowbird. Right, in Bavel. So under those circumstances, so then you have to be respectful of Minhagim. But if you know that you're going in and you're coming back, and Daito Lachzor, and you're not, and you're just, right, you're staying for just a little bit, you'll forgive me for not giving an amount of time because I simply don't know. But you have total plans on going back, under those circumstances, you don't have to be mindful, respectful of the local Minhagim. If that's not your Minhag, if you don't have this Minhag of Chumrah, You don't have to keep the minhag of chumrah if daita lachzor, if you have intention to go back. Okay. Right. Any time during the second parak would be a good time to mention it. I'll tell you what's not going to come up in the second parak, but it's probably one of the more popular topics that come up in terms of minhagim and acceptance of minhagim. And that's what happens when B'nai Eretz Yisrael come to Chutz Arutz for Yantiv, and when B'nai Chutz Arutz go to Eretz Yisrael for Yantiv. So obviously we have a very old established minhag, a minhag that goes back to the time of the Gemara, which is that we keep 2 days of Yantiv. So the, uh, So what happens now when people are traveling from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? Bavel. From outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael to outside of Eretz Yisrael. So as you can imagine, right, that discussion obviously has the most relevancy vis-a-vis our particular perek. It's so interesting that in the perek itself, dedicated to Menhagim, we're not going to see this topic raised, right? This is not a discussion that comes up in the Gemara, although it would be a wonderful case study. And it's a little bit strange that it doesn't come up in the Gemara, considering that this is a topic that was prevalent, was relevant, seemingly, at the time of the Gemara. Anyway, at least we could say right now that Dat Lachzer, that if you're just visiting and you have every intention to leave, so the Gemara says that you don't have to abide by that minhag. Okay, but again, it's part of the discussion, right? No conclusions, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. No conclusions can be drawn just because we learned a piece of Gemara together, right? You have to seek rabbinic advisement on all of these issues, but nevertheless, though, at least now we are more educated, we're more informed. The Gemara right here in Pesachim, Daf Nun Aleph, talks about this idea that if you don't plan on staying there, so then you don't have to abide by certain local minhagim. Amalei Rabba Bar Bar Chana Livnei. Okay, we're going to do more, but we're going to fall a little bit behind this morning. Tomorrow, we'll catch up. Amalei Rabba Bar Bar Chana Livnei. So Rabba Bar Bar Chana says the following to his sons, Beni Lo Sochal. So he says, look, my kids, don't eat what? So Rashi says, we're talking once again about the Al Yasre, right? That piece of fat that's in the interior lining of the keva. And what he's instructing his sons to do is don't eat it over here. Lo befanai velo shelo befanai. Not when I'm here, not when I'm not here. Meaning, the father basically ate the ayasre. But he's telling his sons, look, you kids, you're not going to be given the allowance to eat it. You're living here in Bavel. The minhag Bavel is not to eat it. So you shouldn't be eating it. Now this is not going to be the best in terms of chinuch, I admit. But Rabbi Bar Chana says, look, I'm allowed to eat it, but for the following reason. Ani shereisis Rav Yochanan she'achal kedai hu, Rav Yochanan l'smachalav b'fanav v'shalav b'fanav. So look, I saw Rav Yochanan eat this section of the animal. As far as I'm concerned, I'm good. Meaning I have a mesorah, and I myself personally saw Rav Yochanan eat it. Ata lo reisa, also, but you kids, you never saw Rav Yochanan eat it, right? You heard me telling stories about Rav Yochanan eat it, but you yourself never saw him eat it. So lo socha ben befanav ben shelo befanai. So at this point in time, you have to accept upon yourself the minhag Bavel not to eat the ayasre, not to eat this part of the animal. Okay, that's this psak. And I acknowledge, right, just as a professional parent, right, professional just simply means I've been doing it. Doesn't mean I'm good at it. But as a professional parent, but it's difficult. It's really challenging. If you conduct yourself one way and telling your kids, no, you know what, I can do it, but you can't do it, regardless of what the explanation is, I'm just acknowledging that that's something that's challenging. But be that as it may, that was the psak that Rabbi Baruch Hanan told his kids. Upligi didei adidei. So the Gemara notes that he's not super consistent on one detail. Which detail is that? The Amar Rabba Bar Chana Sachli Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar Bamachat Nichnasni Acher Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yosi ben Lekunya Legina. So I followed in Rabbi Shimon into a particular garden as we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis. V'natol Svichei Kruv V'achal. And so what he did is he took some svichim. Svichim, Rashi says, well, we'll discuss svichim in more detail, but svichim basically are fruits, vegetables that grew on its own during the Shemitah year. It's after the Zman Beer. We just yesterday talked about the Zman Beer. We're going to talk more about it in tomorrow's daf. So it was after the Zman Beer, and v'natol svichei kruv v'achal. Now he ate it. V'nasan li. And he gave it to me and he says, look, as long as you're with me, so you can eat it. But if you're not with me, then you cannot eat it. So look, I myself happen to have personally saw the Rashbi who ate this kind of svichim. So So it's kedai, meaning being that I saw the Rashbi eat it himself, so good. So I can I can rely on that, and I'm going to eat it whether I'm in front of the Rashbi or I'm not in front of the Rashbi. So atab b'fanei ochel shlo b'fanei lo sochal. But you, regardless of whether you're b'fanei shlo b'fanei lo sochal, you should not eat it. Let me read that again. Let me read that even more carefully. So I need to read it more carefully, and I'm doing that right now. You, on the other hand, if you're in front of me, so then ochal, then you go ahead and eat it. Shalom b'fanei lo sochal, but when you're not in front of me, do not eat it. Now this is where he's a little bit inconsistent, in that what he told his kids is that, look, I'll eat the ayasra. I saw Rav Yochanan do it, so I'm going to eat it myself. Okay, and whether I'm in front of Rav Yochanan, I'm not in front of Rav Yochanan, I'm going to do so. You never saw Rav Yochanan eat it, so, and you're living in Bavel, so you're not allowed to eat it. Meanwhile, when it comes to the controversy of the Sfichim, and tomorrow we'll explain much better what the controversy is. But with the controversy of the Sfichim, so it was Mutter. He saw the Rashbi eat it. Now, this is not Rabbi Barbachan himself, but it was a Rebbe to Rabbi Barbachana. So the Rebbe of Rabbi Barbachana saw the Rashbi eat it. So he said, look, I saw the Rashbi eat it. I'm going to eat it under all circumstances, whether b'fanav shalom b'fanav. You, on the other hand, who never saw the Rashbi eat it, so when you're with me, you can eat it. But when you're not with me, you can't eat it. And that's where now the Rabbi Barbachana now is a little bit inconsistent. In the controversy of the Sfichim, so when he was together with the Talmud of the Rashbi, so he went and he ate the Sfichim. Meanwhile, what he told his kids is that, look, you never saw Rav Yochanan eat it, and even when you're with me, and even while I'm eating it, you're not allowed to eat it. Okay, so the Gemara doesn't try to resolve it. The Gemara just simply notes that it's slightly inconsistent. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf. We start off this morning on Nun Amud Beis with various business ventures. Some of them endorsed, some of them not endorsed. Mar Sinai is a big consideration. Okay. A really interesting Gemara regarding Sofrim and the Kosfei Stam, where they're able to make a parnasa from writing Sfarim, Tefillin, Mezuzos, but that's it. In other words, a parnasa, but they're not going to get wealthy. And that was decreed by Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. They beseeched the Kadosh Baruch Hu that these people not make a comfortable living from this particular parnasa. And the reason being is because they basically wanted more stam to circulate amongst the Jewish people. A super interesting Gemara. Okay, we spoke about various minhagim in the course of today's daf. Really an interesting daf as it relates to minhagim. As I pointed out in the beginning, a difficult daf in terms of understanding all the parameters of minhagim, which are to be accepted, which are not to be accepted. The first minhag we covered this morning was the minhag of not working on Erev Shabbos, where an entire community took on that minhag of not working on Erev Shabbos. And then the next generation goes to Rav Yochanan. Do we have to continue that minhag? Rav Yochanan's answer was an affirmative. Yes, you have to continue that minhag. If you go into a community that's unlearned and they took upon themselves a minhag, but really meikar din it's mutter. So because they're unlearned, don't go in and don't start correcting them. And that was Rav Chisda's qualification. And the Gemara now on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph gave three scenarios where we had this kind of circumstance, where something meik or adin was totally mutter, but in comes outsiders into the community and they didn't start correcting. So the two men bathing in the same bathtub, wearing the loose fitting shoes on Shabbos, sitting on the business benches on Shabbos. So all these activities are meik or adin mutter. However, certain communities took upon themselves to be machmer. So within these communities, so the Talmidei Chachamim did not correct because they were unlearned communities. The Gemara went on to describe the practice of Rabbi Barbachana, where he came from Eretz Yisrael. He would eat the ayasre, the interior fat lining of the fourth stomach of the animal. In Eretz Yisrael, it was mutter. In Bavel, there was a minhag in Bavel not to eat it. He came to Bavel, he ate in Bavel. But when people passed him by, so quickly he covered it. They were offended. What do you mean? If you think we're learned individuals, so you should correct us. And if you don't think we're learned individuals, so then it's offensive. The Gemara asked the obvious question. If he's coming to Bavel, shouldn't he, out of respect for Bavel, not eat it altogether as to not create controversy? Such a good question, such a strong question. and to which the Gemara gave a couple of answers to that question. One is that when you're traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so you don't have to worry about any kind of controversy because Bavel is subservient is subordinate to Eretz Yisrael. That was Abai's understanding. So therefore, you can come to Bavel and you can do your Eretz Yisrael practices, and it's not going to create controversy. Okay. Right. A little bit challenging to understand, right? In other words, it's not their practice, but if we understood the subordination a little bit better, so then maybe we would have an easier time understanding Abai's answer. Another possibility, and that was offered by Ravashi, is the, that if it's Dato Lachzor, if people know that you're not staying here, and people know that you plan on returning, so then it's not going to stir any kind of controversy, and then you can practice your minug even though you're in another community where they don't practice that minug. Okay. The Rabbi Berchana told his children that, look, you kids, you are now members of Bavel. You cannot eat the Ayasra. And even as you see me eating it, you yourselves cannot eat it. Even Befanai. And the Gemara notes that Rabbi Berchana, a little bit inconsistent, because when it came to the issue of Svichim, even though that too was a controversial move of eating the Svichim, so nevertheless, as long as he was together with Rabbi Shimon, he would eat it. But once he was outside the presence of Rabbi Shimon, since he himself did not see the Rashbi eating it, so he himself wouldn't eat it. So, okay, so the Gemara noted it's slightly inconsistent. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with what the controversy of Svichim is. Why was it controversial? What's the issue over there? That is where we're going to begin tomorrow morning.